Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
How can we actually figure out if the money governments spend to fight poverty and inequality, if it's really doing the job?
Yeah, it's a huge question. And we're looking at a research paper that offers a pretty novel way to think about it.
Right. This is Mathematical Model of Poverty,
mm-hmm.
a technical explanation using fuzzy logic and regionalized analysis by Carlos Medel Ramirez.
Exactly. And for anyone listening who's ever, you know, wondered why an anti-poverty program works wonders in one town but kind of flops in the next.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
It does. And this deep dive offers a framework to understand why. It pushes us beyond thinking there are simple, universal fixes.
Okay, so let's get into it. The paper mentions traditional models, calling them deterministic. What does that mean in this context? Why might they fall short here?
Okay, so think of deterministic models like a basic recipe. You put in ingredient X, you expect outcome Y, always.
Like spend $1 million on schools, get a 5% literacy increase, that kind of thing.
Sort of, yeah. It assumes a direct predictable cause and effect. But poverty, it's way more complex than baking a cake, right?
Certainly.
You've got all these other swirling factors, local culture, the region's specific history, its geography. Deterministic models often just can't capture all that nuance, that variability.
Ah, okay. So it's like assuming that if fertilizer works on my farm, the exact same amount will work perfectly on your farm, even if your soil, your weather, everything is different.
That's a great analogy, exactly. And this model we're diving into tries to account for that that real-world messiness.
How does it do that?
It focuses on three core ideas. First is public investment allocation, which they call IM. This is basically looking at where the government money is going at the local level, which municipalities, which regions, and into which sectors.
Okay, so, like, are they funding schools, clinics, roads, that kind of allocation?
Precisely. Education, healthcare, infrastructure, the usual suspects. Then the second core idea is regionalization modulation. This uses RG, CF, and HEC.
Oh, okay, break that down. RG, CF, HEC.
Right. This is really key. The model says, look, the impact of that investment doesn't happen in a bubble. It's shaped or modulated by local conditions.
Ah.
So RG stands for geographical factors. Think terrain, access, remoteness. CF is cultural factors, norms, traditions, social structures. And HCC is historical context, past policies, conflicts, economic trajectories.
Interesting. So these act like filters.
Exactly. Filters that can either boost the effect of the investment or maybe dampen it down.
Okay, can you give an example? How would a cultural factor CF play out?
Sure. Let's say you invest heavily in building new health clinics. That's your IM. But if you're in a region, CF, where there's deep-seated cultural mistrust of formal health care or maybe strong reliance on traditional healers,
then people might not actually use the new clinics as much.
Right. The cultural context, CF, modulates the effectiveness of the healthcare investment. Part of him. The same money spent elsewhere might have a much bigger impact on health outcomes.
Wow. Okay. That really highlights how context dependent this stuff is.
Yeah.
So the same dollar can perform very differently. What's the third component? You mentioned a fuzzy inference system.
Yes. Fuzzy logic. Now, the name sounds a bit imprecise, doesn't it?
Yeah. Fuzzy doesn't usually scream rigorous mathematical model.
I know. But it's actually about embracing the inherent imprecision and complexity of the real world. Traditional logic often forces things into boxes. Yes or no, true or false, poor or not poor.
Black and white.
Exactly. But reality is full of shades of gray. How poor is poor? How equal is equal? Fuzzy logic lets the model work with degrees, with likelihoods, with partial truths. It deals with how much something belongs to a category rather than just yes or no.
Okay, so it's less like an on-off light switch and more like a dimmer. It can handle the in-between states.
That's a perfect way to put it. It makes the model more flexible, more adaptable to the ambiguities we see in social issues.
Got it. So we have the investment, the local context filters, RG, CF, HC, and this fuzzy way of thinking. Now, what specific input variables does this model actually look at?
It concentrates on four main public investment areas. We've touched on them. Say for education spending.
Okay.
For healthcare spending.
Right.
Say for infrastructure, things like roads, maybe internet connectivity.
Makes sense.
And GP for specific gender equity programs. These are seen as the big levers.
Okay. And we also have those regionalization modulation variables, RG, geography, CF culture, HEM history. Those are the context factors.
Correct. Those are the filters we talked about. And then based on all these inputs in the context, the model tries to predict the likelihood of certain outcomes, which it calls fuzzy outcome variable.
Okay, what outcomes?
It looks at PR, which is the probability of poverty reduction, GR, the probability of reducing the gender gap, and DP, which is the probability of inequality persisting. Notice it's framed that way, persistence reflecting how sticky inequality can be. And again, these are probabilities acknowledging that fuzzy uncertainty.
Right, not deterministic predictions.
Yeah.
Okay, now the paper presents this core function. Let me see. F, I, M, R, G, C, S, H, C, M, E, U, Wigia, E, C, O, N, U, H, C. This looks a bit intimidating with the Greek letters. What's the gist of it?
Yeah, let's demystify that. Think of Mogimu as representing the strength or degree of influence of each factor based on that fuzzy logic idea.
Oh, okay. Like how much impact the investment has, how strong the cultural influence is.
Exactly. So BEUM is the strength of the overall public investment. Merg, BEU, HD are the strengths of the geographical, cultural, and historical factors in that specific place. The multiplication signs basically mean they all interact.
So they multiply together.
Yes. Which means if any one of those context factors, R, G, H, E, H, B, E, has a very low strength or is working against the goal,
it can drag down the whole result, even if the investment is strong.
Precisely. A strong investment hitting really unfavorable conditions might not achieve much. The interplay is crucial. It's not just what you invest, but where and how it interacts with the local reality.
That makes intuitive sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at the specific core equations derived from this. First, the one for probability of poverty reduction, PR. It's PRFMCHCG, P plus MVR plus OSTS plus OSTI3SI plus A4GP. What should we take away from this one?
Okay, so the likelihood of reducing poverty, PR, depends on that overall investment strength.
Right.
Multiplied by a combined effect of the investments in education, C, health, infrastructure, C, and gender programs, etc. The little Aishi numbers, alpha 1, alpha 2, etc., are just weights.
Weights, meaning some investments might count more than others towards reducing poverty.
Potentially, yeah. Or it just shows they contribute differently. The key insight here is that they work together. It's a sum inside the brackets. Better schools, C, might not lead to jobs if there are no roads to get there or if people aren't healthy enough to work.
So it's synergistic. You can't just pick one thing and max it out. You need a balanced approach across sectors to really dent poverty.
That's what this equation strongly suggests. It's a package deal.
Okay. Next equation, probability of gender gap reduction, GR. That's GRF equals F, C, H, S, Yo, G, B, O, Right, O, S, S, plus B, T, S, plus Free, Street, Psi. What's notable here?
Well, notice a couple of things. Investments in education, health, and infrastructure, the terms with C, beta, are still seen as important for closing the gender gap. Better services generally help everyone, including women.
Right.
But there's also the separate multiplier, BTP, representing the strength or effectiveness of specific gender equity programs.
So the GP perm isn't just added inside the brackets like the others were for poverty. It's multiplying outside.
Exactly. Which suggests that while general improvements help, tackling the gender gap often requires targeted interventions, G, that address specific gender barriers. Their effectiveness acts as a crucial multiplier. It's acknowledging that gender dynamics have their own complexities.
So building better schools is good, but it might not be enough to ensure girls attend and succeed equally if you don't also address underlying cultural norms or safety concerns, perhaps through specific gender programs.
Precisely. It needs that focused effort, and the model reflects that.
Got it. Okay, the last big one. Probability of inequality persistence. DP. This looks like the most complex. DPH, Psi, SJ, GPRG, CFHE, DPA plus TP, plus 2SEA plus 4GP plus Sophie RG plus 6ESTF plus 6EFHE.
It is the most comprehensive. Look what's inside the brackets now. You still have the investments, CH, CHV with their weights, the SR gamma coefficients.
Mm-hmm.
But now you also have those regionalization factors directly included, RG, CF, and HC, also with their own weights.
So geography, culture, and history are explicitly factored into whether inequality sticks around.
Exactly. This equation says that inequality's persistence, DP, isn't just about current spending. It's deeply influenced by the geographical realities, the cultural norms, and the historical legacy of a place. Those factors, GO5RG, 6EF, 7HC, can either help reduce inequality or, more often perhaps, contribute to it sticking around.
And there's that BDP multiplier outside again, too.
Yes. which suggests inequality might have its own sort of fuzzy persistence factor, a kind of inertia that makes it hard to shift, even if you're making the right investments, especially if those underlying regional factors aren't favorable.
So things like historical discrimination or deeply embedded cultural biases, CFHEG, can create a really strong headwind, making inequality stubbornly persistent even with good policies.
That's a major implication, yes. Tackling inequality might require addressing those deep structural roots, not just tweaking current spending levels.
Okay, this is painting a much richer but also more challenging picture. So let's pull together the main key insights from using this kind of model.
Well, I think the first big one is crystal clear. Public investment is absolutely not one size fits all. Context is king. What works in Region A might fail in Region B because of those RG, CF, HC factors.
Right. Super important. What else?
Second, the interconnectedness of different sectors. You can't just focus on education and ignore health or infrastructure if you want to tackle poverty effectively. They reinforce each other.
Okay.
Third, the value of embracing complexity and uncertainty using fuzzy logic. It potentially gives a more realistic assessment of policy impact than rigid, deterministic views.
Allows for those shades of gray.
Exactly. Fourth, it highlights the critical role of targeted gender equity programs, JGP, but also shows their success is tied to overcoming those broader cultural and historical CFHC dynamics.
Right, so it's simple.
And finally, it really underscores how deep-rooted historical and cultural factors are major drivers of persistent inequality, sometimes even more so than current economic investments alone.
Those are powerful points. Mm. So thinking about policy implications, how could this actually change what governments or NGOs do?
Well, the paper really argues for a shift towards much more localized policy design. Forget the sweeping national blueprint. Tailor interventions to the specific geography, culture, and history of each region.
More micro-targeting, basically.
Yes, and informed by understanding those local modulators. It also strongly supports multi-sectoral strategies. Stop thinking in silos, education ministry here, health ministry there. Plan investments holistically.
Break down those bureaucratic walls.
Hopefully. And that fuzzy logic element. It could enable more dynamic monitoring and evaluation. Instead of waiting 5 years to see if something worked, you could theoretically use models like this to track progress, understand why things are or aren't working in a specific place, and adapt policies much faster.
So it's about building in feedback loops, being more adaptive, more responsive to the local reality as it unfolds.
Precisely. Move away from set it and forget its policymaking towards something more like continuous navigation, adjusting course based on the complex currents of context.
Right. It's about using a more sophisticated map and compass.
That's a good way to put it. Embracing the complexity to hopefully become more effective and more equitable.
Okay. So wrapping this up, our deep dive into this mathematical model really gives us a more advanced lens, doesn't it? It helps understand why public money aimed at poverty and inequality has such varied results.
Mm-hmm.
It moves way beyond simple cause and effect by stressing how vital that local context, the geography, culture, history really is, and how different investments are linked. Plus, this fuzzy logic idea helps handle the inherent uncertainty.
Absolutely. And for anyone listening grasping this kind of framework, you really get a deeper appreciation for just how challenging socioeconomic development is. It shows why just throwing money at a problem often isn't enough.
Yeah, it's about the intelligence and the sensitivity of the intervention tailored to the place.
Exactly. It's about understanding those complex interactions.
This has been really insightful. It definitely makes you think. This core idea of regionalization modulation,
yeah.
How local factors shape the impact of bigger initiatives. Where else could that apply?
That's a great question.
I mean, beyond poverty, think about climate change adaptation or public health campaigns or even educational reforms. Are there other complex areas where we might be using overly simplistic models and ignoring the crucial role of local context and uncertainty?
It seems very likely, doesn't it?
Definitely something to mull over. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive.